Let's pray and let's get going. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do just thank you for the time that you've given us to come together, Lord, to just be able to have time of fellowship, just talk about life and encourage one another, but to be able to open your word and be able to hear what it is that you have for us today. God, I pray that you would remove me out of the way, God. I'm a fool and I can't seem to do anything right, but God, you're powerful and your spirit can use anybody. So I pray that you would just remove me out of the way today. Just use me as a vessel to say the words that you want to say, not the things that I want to say. So I pray that you would use it. I pray that you would just allow it to go smoothly and just be used for your honor and glory. So God, I thank you for this time. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so title today, something that's been on my heart, the phrase, yet so as by fire. No, I'm totally kidding. If you want to know about that, talk to Tucker or Mitch. No, title today, if you're a title person, I have Ministry of Works or Ministry of Faith? That's a question. Ministry of Works or Ministry of Faith? As I was sitting down just praying and thinking, what in the world am I going to say to a class like Passpoint? It's a super diverse group. We've got people like, you know, you've got Tristan, who's younger than anybody else here. He's probably still more mature than me at times. And people who've only been saved for a very short period of time. And then we have men and women that have graduated Bible college in here. So how in the world can I sit down and put together a lesson, for lack of a better term, to reach that diverse of a group? Well, the answer is I can't. But the Spirit of God can use anybody and God can do anything. So I'm trusting that what God's kind of shown me today can be used. It can be profitable. So hopefully there's something for everybody here today. So Ministry of Works or Ministry of Faith. My two big words today are going to be ministry and faith. So I wanted to kind of define those so we're all at an equal starting line jumping into this. Ministry, something you hear about a lot here. We're a busy church here at HBF. And even more locally, here at Passpoint, just about every one of you, or every one of you are close to that point, we're all involved in ministry on different levels, to different degrees. We're very busy people. We're busy about the work of God. So what is ministry? When we think about that, you know, you think the kids' ministry, we got Harvest Party coming up, sign up for that. You know, missions trips like going to Monmouth, AV, praise. There's so many different things in ministry. But what is ministry? You look up that Greek word and you define it. And in the simplest terms, ministry is just service to God. And that is absolutely those things I was talking about. But that can also be being a prayer warrior, you know, at home, fervently praying for other people. Ministry can be just fellowshipping with people, you know, discipleship, encouraging your brothers and sisters. Ministry is the work that we do here, but it's more broad than that. It's all the things we do in service to God, the things that bring us fruit. So before someone comes and just tackles me and keeps me from finishing, let me get to the end here. I'm not up here teaching heresies, but sometimes we get too busy about ministry. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. And ministry is a great thing, but like all things, if we don't use it the right way, it can become a problem. So ministry is just our service to God. And then faith is the other thing I wanted to talk about. Sam did a great job last week talking about faith, what it is in our life, how we can use faith to be more faithful. And he said something that really resonated with me, and it's something I want to kind of take and run with. And he said that faith is a relationship with God. And I would 110% agree with that. You look up the definition for that Greek word faith, and it is quite literally a conviction or belief respecting man's relationship to God. Your faith is your relationship with God. It's as simple as that. The personal relationship that you have and you grow by being in the Word and being in prayer. It starts when you get saved, and it doesn't stop growing. That's what your faith is. It's your personal relationship. So we kind of got those laid out. Your ministry is your work. And your faith is your personal relationship. So we're just kind of roll from there. So today what I have is three questions to ask ourselves about our ministry out of Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. So if you want to be turning there, I don't know if I said that. But three questions to ask ourselves about our ministry. And I was intentional to say our because as I'm putting this together, guys, this is really just like a lesson to me. This is things that God's convicted me on and things that I've had to work through my life. I'm not up here to tell you guys you're not living your lives wrong. You're living your lives wrong. Obviously, you guys are, you're busy about the work. You're doing the things of God. But these are things that God's working in my life. So, three questions to ask ourselves about our ministry. So, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. I'll read that, and then we'll just kind of break it down. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, And these shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as of all the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And then I really like verse 11. It says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. So, I'm doing How to Disciple right now. Me and Sam are in there with a couple other folks. And what we're doing right now is we're going through and we're teaching the lessons and we're kind of critiquing each other and pointing out the things we're doing well and the things that we aren't doing so well. And it's become evident that something I struggle with is I say the word obviously a lot. I assume that when I'm teaching or when I'm presenting the word that the group that I'm sharing with, whether it's devotion or what have you, just knows the thing about the passage that I know as I've been studying it out for weeks or months. And obviously that we'll see. See? I'm telling you, I'm not making this stuff up. That's something I struggle with. And so I don't want to just assume that we're all on the even playing field. So I'm going to kind of just explain what's going on here. I'm not going to dive into the deep doctrines of Galatians 3, but I am going to just kind of make sure we're all at the same starting point here. So what this is Paul writing a letter to the church of Galatia. And as you can see in the first couple of verses, we'll dive into it, but it says that you should not obey the truth. And it says, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye not made perfect in the flesh? So the church of Galatia, they had a good start. You know, they came to know Christ. This is Jews who came to know God. They were converted. And they started good. They were where they needed to be. And then somewhere along the line, whether it was pride or false teaching or whatever it was, they went backwards. They went back to the works of the law. You see the word law a lot here in this passage. And what that is that's just talking about, quite literally, the laws of the Israelites, of the Jews. The Ten Commandments and the many, many rules that they made under that. So what was happening was the church of Galatia, they came to know God, but then instead of being justified or made righteous by God, they went back and they tried to, quote unquote, make themselves righteous by their works. They wanted to be better Christians by doing the works of the law. They wanted to do the right things or make the right sacrifices and let that make them be good enough versus just being good enough in Christ. So that's what this passage is talking about. This is Paul telling them, your works aren't going to justify you. It has to be Christ. So, obviously, I don't think anybody in here is a proselyte Jew. I don't think any of us are trying to hold to the Ten Commandments or convert to Judaism, but I still think this can apply to us. Like I said, we're a really busy people. Just about everybody in here is involved in ministry, some a lot more than others, not that that's a bad thing, but sometimes our ministry can turn into a work, and sometimes we try and let our works justify us rather than our faith or our personal relationship with God. And that's backwards. Ministry is vital. Ministry is super important. But there, things have to be in order. Your priorities have to be lined up. And your faith, that personal relationship, has to come first. I was talking to someone who I respect a lot as I was getting ready to put this together. And he told me, he looked me in the eye and said, Brenton, what you got to do is you just got to walk up there and preach like a black man. I said, what do you mean by that? And I had a joke lined up, but based on that reaction, we'll sidebar that. But anyway, what he meant by that, what do you mean by that? He said, go up there, don't try and make it overcomplicated, don't try and make yourself sound smart. Make your point and just hammer it over and over and over again until the people start yelling hallelujah and somebody gets something out of it. So I have three questions to ask and I've got subpoints, I've got all these things, but they kind of all point back right to the same thing. And that's because God was just really hammering something down on me. So I think maybe somebody will get something out of it. If nobody else does, I know I've got something out of it. So three questions to ask ourselves about our ministry. And the first question is, do we allow our ministry to replace our faith? Like I said, our ministry is just our service, but I'll read verses 1 through 3, but our ministry begins as we grow in our faith, but we cannot let our service grow larger than our faith. Verses 1 through 3 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. They've seen Christ. He's transformed their lives. But who's bewitching them? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? They started right. I said this earlier. They were on the right track. They came to know God. They received the Spirit by faith. It wasn't the works of the law. But then they went back to their faith. We get involved in ministry after we, you know, you get saved and you start to grow in the Lord. He grows you. And ministry, it's kind of inevitable. It's a good thing. You should be involved in ministry. But you start to get involved in ministry and then it's, you know, you volunteer here. Somebody asks you to help there. And then it's this and then it's that. And then as soon as the next thing you know, you're pulled in 17 different directions. You know, it starts out, the horse is pulling the cart and things are going slow, and then the cart starts getting heavier and you can barely pull it, and then you start on a downhill slope, the cart's heavier than the horse, the cart rolls over the horse, it's been rolling for 4 years and the horse died 5 years ago. Like, how does that happen? Why do we let that happen? Well, we let our works outgrow our faith. Ministry is important, ministry is vital, but it can't outgrow your faith. My next sub-point I had was, we begin our ministry as a way to gain rewards, but if we become consumed by it, we do more work for less rewards. We gain rewards for ministry. God wants us to serve Him so He can bless us for it. Ministry is a good thing, but if you start out your ministry to gain rewards and then your ministry just consumes you, you're not getting rewards for it. And that might seem backwards. You're like, well, I'm doing more work. I should be getting more rewards. If your ministry gets to a point where it's a bigger priority in your life than your personal devotional time, your personal time in prayer, your personal relationship, you're not being blessed for it. I've been in ministry for quite some time, even though I'm young, and I can tell you from a personal testimony, there's about three or four years I was consistently serving in ministry, and it was work. Like, it wasn't always easy, and I don't have a single reward to show for it. I guarantee it, because I didn't do it with the right heart. I did it because it was a thing to do. I thought it was what I was supposed to do, but it wasn't led by God. I believe God called me to it in the beginning, and then I got in my flesh about it, and there was no rewards from it. It was more important to me than my personal relationship with God, and we can't let that happen. You're doing more work for less rewards. Psalms 127:1 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." If it's not of God, there's no reason to do it. If it's not led by God, if it's not blessed by God, why are you doing it in the first place? God wants you to serve in ministry, but He wants you to serve in ministry because it's what He has led you to do. Now, I'm not saying that you need to just say, God, give me a sign that I need to be doing this right now. But you should be led to do the things that you're doing. You should be called. If you're just, oh, I'm filling a spot, God's not going to bless that. You're doing more work for less rewards. The second question I have to ask yourself about your ministry: is your ministry a product of your faith? Is our ministry a product of our faith? Verse 5 says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" We can all think of that quote-unquote great Christian in our life. Someone who just seems like they can move mountains, like their faith is just incredible. And you're like, how do they do that? I could never be like that. Well, the key to having a powerful ministry is having it molded by faith. That faith that these people have is the same faith that you can have. You think of, like, when you think of that great Christian, someone comes to mind. Like, for example, I think of Pastor Brian. Obviously, he's a great pastor, but you start to understand some of the things that guy does behind the scenes, the work that he does. It is absolutely mind-boggling, more than you could ever understand. And you're like, how is that even possible? Because he does it by faith. The reason that Pastor Brian is able to do the things that he does, and he does them so well, is because as he's pastoring the church and teaching classes and going to conferences and doing more than you could possibly understand, through all of that, his number one priority in his life is his personal relationship with Christ. Before his family, before his quote-unquote job as a pastor, before any of the things he does in ministry, his number one priority is his relationship with the Lord, his personal devotional time. So that same faith that just seems to move mountains, it says, "He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and worketh miracles." Like, how do these people do these things? Their faith. The same faith that you have, they just exercise it. They choose to spend time continuously growing in that personal relationship with God. It's a priority to them. And so they have faith that can, quite frankly, just perform miracles. It just comes from that personal relationship. I've said it you know, 20 times already, and I'm going to say it 100 more before I get done. That's what it comes down to, guys. My next subpoint under this is the faith that formed ministry as we know it is the same faith that we can and should have. Verses 6 through 7 say, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So we know that from Abraham and his faith to God, God blessed him. He promised him a nation. So then from Abraham came eventually David, and then from the lineage of David, Jesus. Well, if we don't have Jesus, we don't have salvation. If we don't have salvation, we don't have the church age. And if we don't have the church age, we don't have our church, and we don't have ministry. So literally the guy that eventually, I mean, through the power of God, obviously, but his faithfulness brought about literally all of ministry as we know it. And that's the exact same faith that we can have. That's the same faith that we should have. It's not because Abraham was some great and mighty guy, though he was. Abraham was an awesome dude. It's because he was faithful. It says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Abraham was faithful, and so God blessed him. So the same faith that gave us ministry is the same faith that we should have. And that's the same faith that we should exercise. And it just comes, again, from being in the Word. It's your personal relationship. Keeps coming back to that. My third question to ask ourselves about our ministry, I'm going to have to start talking really slow, is, are we blessed by God for walking in faith, or are we blessed by man for serving in ministry? I feel like a lot of times, are we blessed by God for walking in faith, or are we blessed by man for serving in ministry? We start out doing ministry because it's what God called us to, and He blesses us for it. We walk in faith, we get involved in ministry, and God blesses you. There's rewards. And then we get to a point where people start complimenting you. Like, hey, good job, man. You're doing great. You're serving here, and then you're helping out there. People are patting you on the back, and you're like, I like this. This makes me feel good. I'm not saying ministry shouldn't make you feel good, but if you start doing it to be blessed by man, for the praise of man, you're going to get off track real quick. Are you blessed by God for walking in faith, or are you blessed by man for serving in ministry? My subpoint for this is God blesses us for our faith, not our works. Duh. But anyway, I want to jump into that. Obviously. Yeah, right. God blesses us for our faith and not our works. Verses 8 through 9, it says, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, and thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. God just wants you to be faithful. He wants you to serve in ministry, but He wants you to pursue a personal relationship above that. It says, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, He knew how this was going to happen. Preached before the gospel under Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. We're blessed for our faith. You can do a lot of works and get not a lot of rewards. God wants to bless you, but He wants to bless you for your obedience and your relationship with Him, not your obedience to please the will of man. It kind of just kept seeming to come back to the same point. And why does that happen? You know, why do we get so involved in all the right things and do it for all the wrong reasons? It's because we're prideful. We like to be patted on the back. We like to be told we're doing a good job. We like to hear, man, that was good. Man, keep after it. But God just wants us to bless us for having a personal relationship with Him. These things come as a result of that, but like I said in the beginning, don't let them build up bigger than your faith. God's more concerned with our personal relationship with Him than our service in ministry. And the next subpoint under this is, if your ministry is your basis for your relationship with God, you will not be justified. That word justified, you look up the Greek definition, it quite simply means made righteous. It's what makes you righteous. And it's not ministry, believe it or not. If your ministry is your basis for your relationship with God, you won't be justified. Verses 10 through 11, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now, I don't think you guys are trying to hold to the Ten Commandments, and I don't think you're going to be cursed for serving in ministry if you're not called, but you're not going to be blessed. If your ministry is how you get that relationship with God, you're off track. Your relationship with God comes from your personal time in the Word. It comes from your personal time in prayer. Now, God absolutely can and will grow you through your ministry. Like I said, guys, ministry is awesome. Ministry is vital. It's important. We need to be involved. But it can't be where you get your relationship with God. If the first time you've opened your Bible this week was to open up and teach the kids a passage about Noah, what are we doing? I mean, you're going to lead the kids astray, because whether or not you think they see it, they see the way that you act. They see the things that you say. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If you're not filling your heart with the Word, you're going to be showing a testimony of somebody who really isn't all that invested. And then that's what you're investing in those kids. We've talked about it in discipleship. You reproduce disciples of what you are. If you're not in the Word, your disciple's not going to be in the Word. You can't let your ministry be your basis for your faith. It has to be a personal relationship. I said that. But verse 11, it says, "But that no man is justified by the law on the side of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." You're not justified by your works. The things that you do in ministry, whether or not they be good things, that's not what justifies you. That's not what makes you righteous. You're justified by your faith, your personal relationship. You can do more ministry than anybody else in the church and have nothing to show for it, because it wasn't done in faith. I'm going to quote David Nebel, and it's kind of more of what I've been saying, but I thought it was good. He said, "You can do every good work and every good ministry in the church, and you can have the best of intentions, but your personal relationship with the Word has to remain the number one priority." I know I've said that 1,000 times, but that says remain, so it's actually different. I said be, now it's remain, so it's the same but different. 6½ a dozen, right? But your relationship with the Word has to remain your number one priority. If your ministry is not done in the Spirit, it is done in the flesh. And if it's done in the flesh, it's done in sin. And you might hear that and you're like, hold on, backtrack. You're saying that I might be watching kids and maybe I don't have a great attitude about it. You're telling me that that's sin? How does that make any sense? I'm doing a good thing. Everything you do, like it or not, it's black or white. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. It's one or the other. We try and build this gray area where you're like, well, maybe this isn't led by God, but it's not sin. So we build up this gray area and then we try and live there. I heard Mark say this once. If you're trying to live in the gray, I'll find you in the dark. You can't be in between. It's one or the other. What you're doing is either led by God or it's not. You're either in the Spirit or you're in the flesh. So we can't live in the middle. You got to choose. Romans 14:23, it says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Guys, I don't just say this because it sounds good to say. It's what your Word says. If what you're doing isn't of faith, then it's of sin. If you're out there just babysitting kids for an hour and a half, you have a bitter attitude about it. Guys, I get it. It can be hard. You're like, I've watched kids 4 weeks in a row. Nobody else is here to support. I can't leave. Somebody has to do it. And you're bitter about it. I mean, that's sinful, guys. It's not going to be blessed. And it's hard. You're like, I'm doing all the right things. Well, how are you doing it? Are you doing it in the Spirit? Because if you're not, there's no rewards. You're doing more work for less rewards. I didn't know if I should say this, but I'm going to. God wants to use you. God wants you to be involved. He wants you to serve in ministry. He wants to bless you for the things you're doing. God doesn't need you. He doesn't. You might be in ministry and you're like, well, it sucks, and I don't have a good attitude about it. I don't want to do it. But nobody else is going to. Somebody has to fill the gap. God doesn't need you, man. He wants to bless you for your obedience, but He doesn't need you there. He wants to be able to reward you for being obedient in it, but that doesn't mean He has to have you. I can think of multiple just key men in the church, guys that seemed like pillars, like guys that raised me in the faith, just super impactful guys that are just gone. Not because they're dead, but they thought they saw greener pastures and they up and left. Church is still going. We're still making disciples. We're still doing the work of the Lord. But they're gone. God doesn't need you. If you're serving in ministry because you feel like you have to, because nobody else is going to do it, so I might as well, man, you got to get your heart right. Now, I'm not telling you just quit all your ministries, but if you need to step back for a month or two or six, and get your relationship here right first, that's what God wants. He would rather you be right here than right over in the hallway over there serving. And that's just the truth of it. If it's not of faith, it is sin. God doesn't want you to be in sin. He wants you to be obedient. If your priority isn't here, if it doesn't start here in the Word and end here in the Word, what are you doing? Doing all the ministry in the world for nothing. God wants to use you. He wants to bless you for it. But He doesn't need you. Don't be involved for the wrong reasons. Be involved because that's where God wants you to be. And then I've got my last sub-point. This is going to blow your guys' socks off. It says, our main goal has to be our personal relationship with Christ. Because I wanted to say it one more time. I think I just like the way it sounds at this point. Verse 11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You have to live by your personal relationship with God. You can live a life with a lot of ministry and a lot of good works and saying a lot of good things and putting up a lot of good face. If it doesn't come from a life based on your relationship with Christ, from a life based on faith and a personal relationship with this book, nothing's going to come from it. You have to live by this relationship. 2 Timothy 4:7. If you want to turn there, might as well just eat some time. 2 Timothy 4:7. Guys, which way is Timothy? Okay, there it is. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. This is Paul. One of the guys we would view as maybe one of the greatest ministers. Like, all he did was the work of the Lord. He was going around planting churches, preaching the gospel. That's all he did. To the point that he was almost killed for it multiple times. And eventually he was. He was a martyr. Because his life was the Word. His life was the ministry. And what does he say? He says, I've fought a good fight. I've served really well and I've done a lot of things. No. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Not because he did all these things. Not because he was great in ministry. It's because he kept the faith. It's because above all else, through all of that, his personal relationship with God was his number one priority. I mean, you think of the great Christians. This is Paul. This is one of the greats. I have kept the faith. He kept his personal relationship with God as his number one priority. That's what it comes down to. At the end of the day, it's either faith or it's works. Which one is it going to be? I have written down here, a man who lives by faith will always be involved in ministry, will almost always be involved in ministry. But being involved in ministry does not make you a man who lives by faith. Ministry doesn't constitute your relationship with God. I said that earlier. If you think that the fact that you're going to help with Harvest Party and you help build Bibles and you're watching kids and you helped with soccer and you're going to Monmouth and you're doing every single possible available ministry thing, if you think that makes you a faithful man, you're wrong. And a lot of times that's the attitude we get. I'm serving. I'm serving well. I'm doing a lot. That's faithful. I mean, you can. You should be faithful in the work. But that faith starts in the book. It starts here and it ends here. You get saved and you grow in it. And then until the day you die, you keep growing in it. Because the personal relationship has to remain God. Where's your relationship with God? How much time did you spend praying today? How many days did you read your Bible this week? If you aren't feeding yourself, you expect to get fed from ministry when you're feeding other people? Being involved in ministry doesn't make you faithful. So then, kind of on to my conclusion. There's something I want to talk about. Sam hit on this, and I thought it was good, and I kind of want to add to it. But God's will versus God's plan. Most all of us have heard that, but if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain it. God has a will and God has a plan for everybody. And I'm actually going to add a third thing. But God's will is the same for everybody. God wants you to be saved and He wants you to be sanctified. And being sanctified, it sounds like a big word. It's literally just drawing closer to God through the Word, through prayer, through serving Him. Being sanctified is just the process of growing closer to God. So God's will is the same. He wants you to be saved and He wants you to be sanctified. No matter who you are, what age, race, nationality, part of the earth, doesn't matter. He wants you to be saved and He wants you to be sanctified. God's will, or that's God's will. God's plan is the course or the path that He has set for your life. This looks different for everybody. This is kind of how sanctification happens. I'm not going to be sanctified the same way Mitch is sanctified. We're not going to serve in the same ministries. We're not going to be reading the same passages. It looks different for everybody. God has a different plan and a different path for everybody. But He still has the same plan. He wants you to be involved. He wants you to be sanctified. But it looks different. So God's plan is the path on which that happens. And I want to add a third thing that I've never really heard added into this. And to quote David Neville again, you have God's will and you have God's plan, and then you have God's calling. Because God has a calling for every one of you. Every one of you in this room, everybody in this building, everybody in the world. And it's kind of a mix of these two, of God's will and God's plan. It's the same for everybody, but it looks different for everybody. God's calling is for us to serve the will of God for the glory of God. And that looks different for everybody. What ministries you're involved in, who you're discipling, who you're ministering in, like how you do the work, it looks different for everybody. But God's calling on your life, one way or the other, regardless of where you're at in the walk with God, you could have got saved yesterday. God has a calling on your life. He has a plan for you. He wants you to do His work. He wants you to do His will for His glory. That's why we're here. I really wanted to go on a long tangent about something that really just hits me personally, like, why are we here? What's our purpose? Because it's something I used to really struggle with, and you could teach a whole message on it, and I'm not going to get too deep into it. But guys, we're here for the glory of God. We're here to serve Him, and it comes down to that. And that used to make me bitter. I was growing up, and I'm like, you're telling me the whole reason I exist is just to bring glory to some guy that I can't even see. How does that make sense? God's given us everything we have. Everything we could ever have. More than we could ever possibly deserve. He blesses us day in and day out. He grows us continually. He's faithful when we're not. Yeah, your purpose is to bring Him glory. All He wants in return is for you to serve Him. Romans 12:1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That doesn't say reasonable service. Anyway, it's your service. It's what's reasonable. God's given you everything that you have. Yeah, your purpose here on this earth is to bring glory to Him. That's God's calling on your life. Do His work. Build relationships. Day in and day out, at a job, at church, whatever it is that you do, use it for the glory of God. That's why you're here. God's calling is for us to serve the will of God for the glory of God. Turn to John 15. We're getting about close to done. John chapter 15. Verses 5 and 8. In verse 5 it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. How do you bring glory to God? You bear fruit. You do the work, and you bear fruit. It says, herein is my Father glorified. You want to live a life that has purpose? You want to live a life that means something in a world where nothing matters? Bear fruit. Bring glory to God. Do something that's going to have weight in eternity. It's going to affect what your future looks like for all of eternity. We can't even wrap our heads around that. It says, bear fruit. Do the work of God and bear fruit. Colossians 1:10. It says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. How do you please the Lord? Be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. It's funny, how do you increase in the knowledge of God? It comes back to the Word, it comes back to your personal relationship, and it comes back to your faith. If you grow your faith, you're going to please God because it's inevitable. If you make the faith your priority, your relationship your priority, then God's going to bless it. You're going to get involved in ministry. All these things are going to happen eventually, but you're going to do it in order, and you're going to bear fruit, and you're going to live a life that's pleasing unto God. You're going to realize, oh, I have a purpose. I'm doing something that matters. And it's because I put my faith first. So to close it out, what am I saying here? Drop out of your ministry, leave the church, go be a monk in the mountains, read your Bible for 10 hours a day, and that's it. Absolutely not. That's not what we're called to do. I don't know if we even have monks in America. You might have to go to Europe. That's not what we're called to do. God wants us to be involved. He wants us to bear fruit. He wants us to earn rewards by serving Him. You just have to put your faith first. You just have to keep the relationship first. Sam, what does Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 say? And do you know 10? Do you know 10, Mitch? We hear 8 and 9 all the time. Everybody has those verses memorized. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved by grace. But then there's verse 10. It says, for ye are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We're created into good works. God wants you to work. He wants you to labor. He wants you to serve. And He wants to bless you for it. But He wants you to put the relationship first. He wants your faith to come first. You'll know this one. What's James 1:22? It's my last verse. Yeah. You used that verse last week. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Do the work. God wants you to be involved. He wants you to serve. He wants you to be doing this ministry and that ministry. And He wants us to do all these things. But He wants you to put Him first. He wants us to disciple people and bear fruit from it. He wants our lives to be based on Him. But He wants our lives to be based on this word, not just the work. It might have just been for me, but that's what God showed me this week. I'll pray and we'll get out of here a couple minutes early. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord, I do just, I thank You for Your power and Your presence in our lives. God, I thank You for the opportunity to have a personal relationship with You. God, it's something we could never deserve. There's nothing we could do that would make us good enough to be used by You. But God, it's what You want. You want us to have a relationship with You. So God, I do truly just thank You for that. I thank You for Your protection and Your provision in our lives, God, for blessing us, even though we don't ever begin to deserve it. Lord, I pray for a service coming up. I pray for Brian or whoever it is preaching today. God, I pray that You would just work through them. Prepare the hearts and the minds of Your people to hear Your word, that it would just impact us. Keep us safe this week and help us to use it for Your honor and glory, God. Help us to walk in faith this week. So I thank You for the time that You've given us today. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.